listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY
Musician
Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 226 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show, and today we have something that I'm so excited to finally be able to talk about to you, the podcast listeners, and it's a new way to market your music. It's something that we've just quietly launched here at CD Baby, and I haven't even told anybody about it except you listening to the podcast are going to hear about it first today, and that'll be coming up shortly. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that we have two DIY musician conferences, one in Austin, the big one, August 16th through 18th in Austin, Texas, and we have one in Valencia, Spain, which is happening April 6th and 7th. Both those conferences have early bird tickets on sale right now, and the top questions I get asked from people wanting to attend are, one, will there be performance opportunities? The answer is yes, and we're going to have even more performance opportunities at both of these conferences than we had in previous years. And the number two question is, how do I get in on those performance opportunities? And the answer is, you get an early bird ticket because we give advance access to the submission form to anyone who buys an early bird ticket. So your chances of getting pre-selected for like the open mic and other performance opportunities go way up if you get that early bird ticket in and are ready and ready to go when we send out the submission form. So you can head over to DIYMusicianCon.com and find out about both of those conferences and get tickets right there. Early bird for the U.S. conference right now is $99. And for the European conference, it's 49 euros. That's a steal. 49 euros? Have you been to Europe? You can barely get lunch for 49 euros, and you get a whole conference. So I hope to see you either in Austin or Valencia, or better yet, you can go to both, and we'll hang in both places because they're both awesome. DIYMusicianCon.com, get your tickets. Okay, so for today's episode, I've got a guest named Jason Hobbs. He's done digital marketing for mega-size artists and labels for years, and he started a company called Foundy to start really automating a lot of these online marketing techniques in the digital age that he was doing manually. He wanted to automate it, and we have been working with him to power this new ad platform that we're adding into Show.co. So you're going to hear us talk about, you'll hear the name Foundy a couple times in this interview, but everything we talk about is inside your Show.co account. So if you haven't got a Show.co account, I'm going to tell you how you get it for free. All you got to do is log into your CD Baby account. If you don't have a CD Baby account, just go create one. It's free. It doesn't matter if you're using somebody else for distribution. Once you create that account, on the dashboard, there's a link that says free marketing tools. Click on that link and it'll instantly connect you to a Show.co account. Don't go to Show.co directly because that's how the labels go to access this tool, and we make them pay for it. So we make them pay so you can get it for free. So go do that, and as we talk about this new platform that we've launched and new ad targeting platform inside of Show.co, it'll be helpful if you can follow along. But one of the cool things is it is the first platform where you can create audio ads on Spotify marketing your music starting at just $50. You cannot do this anywhere else, and we're super excited to do that. You can also create banner ads and target people on very sought-after websites like Rolling Stone, and it really delivers. So we have not started marketing this at all, but I wanted to give the podcast audience the first taste of it and hear about it. If you were at the DIY Musician Conference in Nashville last year, Jason and I actually gave a sneak preview of this, but it's now live in beta. It's still in beta, and that's why I want to get some of you guys on there using it and get feedback and whatnot. But stick around to the end. After my interview with Jason, I'm going to play some example ads, audio ads, that will help you understand the opportunity that you have here to be able to target real listeners on Spotify that are already listening to music just like yours. So it's going to be a lot of information, a lot to take in. Go log into your show.co account or go get that account created. As you listen to this interview, it'll be helpful to follow along. And here's my interview with Jason, where we break it all down. Well, Jason, welcome to the new CD Baby headquarters here in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, thank you. It's awesome.
You are the first official guest in the new podcasting room.
Is that right? Okay. This place is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris was actually here last week, and so we were able to record here, but you are the first guest. So
thank you.
Maybe
we'll
have
honored.
To get a picture and put it on the wall, like our first dollar bill.
Should I write on the wall in Sharpie?
Maybe that's a tradition we should start having people do.
They're nice white walls. You can definitely... Yeah.
Yeah. So... We are going to be talking about online advertising and this new product that our companies have launched together, an ad builder platform inside of show.co that we're very excited about and what artists can do to really target fans online. And we're just starting to roll that out, and it's in beta, and the podcast audience is getting a sort of the sneak preview before anybody else.
Because, yeah, this is exciting.
Yeah, it's an exclusive group.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so let's start with giving a little bit of your background in the digital space and what you've been doing, and then some of the artist stories you've worked at, and then we'll get on to how you took all that knowledge and we started building this thing. So give us a little bit about who you are.
So I've been doing digital marketing professionally for like 13, 14 years. You know, started in dot-coms, moved into ad agencies. And then maybe 8 years ago, I launched a digital marketing agency focused on the music industry. We started with like DJs like Rusko and artists like Mike Posner and stuff like that. And then since then, we've worked with everybody from Beyonce and Linkin Park to Marilyn Manson and St. Vincent and Sylvanesso and Flying Lotus and Denzel Curry, and just kind of run the spectrum. But a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we saw a need in what we were doing, what the artists were doing, what the labels were doing, what the management companies were doing, in building, capturing audiences and on platforms you couldn't otherwise do it from. And so we built a platform called Foundy to help us serve that need, basically. Fast forward a couple of years, we build an advertising platform that goes along with it and a data management platform, and we build a direct integration with show.co, which is the exciting topic today.
Yeah. So, you know, just for our audience, when they hear of like, we're doing digital or marketing, that can mean a lot of things. What kind of channels were you specifically working with these artists on?
They all have different needs, but in general, we were a holistic digital agency. So we focused, we did social, we did organic, we did landing page optimization stuff. We did a lot of digital advertising. So Google AdWords, Facebook advertising. We were the first advertisers on Spotify and on Pandora, actually. We were doing targeted advertising when everybody else was getting free run of network advertising. We were actually doing very targeted advertising campaigns back then. We were the first company in the music space to do remarketing advertising and do it with conversion tracking to help sell tickets for a major music festival. So we were, email, so anything ECRM, social, organic, and paid media, really, advertising.
So these artists would come to you and say, we've got this tour or we've got this album launch, and would they have very specific goals, or, you know, did you have to pull that out of them? Or because I know you guys went from, you know, you sort of were leading the charge of actually getting more specific and targeting very specific fan groups as opposed to traditionally just like, you know, shotgun approach.
Yeah. So usually it was management or labels coming to us or promotions companies. Sometimes it has been artists in the past. Like Linkin Park came to us directly, for instance. But we would have to pull out goals, because oftentimes it's like I want to sell a lot of albums, or I want to make
sure. I want to be famous. Is there a famous button in this platform?
Yeah. And I mean, for the large artists, you know, it was usually album sales or ticket sales. But oftentimes it's like, we want the tour to be success. Okay, what is success? What's the capacity at the venues? What have you guys done historically? What are the promoters doing currently to help sell the tour? And so we'd look at all of these factors and we'd come up with advertising budgets. We would come up with social media campaigns and content campaigns, email campaigns, and really tie them all together with just one holistic digital strategy. But yeah, it all starts with, what do you really need? We had to pull that kind of information out, which is pretty typical for, you know, any sort of like agency process, you know, even with just like random brands or like big pharmaceutical companies or something.
Yeah.
Like, what do you really need, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make the bosses happy. That's what they
Yeah, that's all they actually we'll give you good reports.
Yeah. So I know there's one particular campaign that you talked about because you were at the DIY Musician Conference with us in Nashville last year. And we haven't ironed out the specifics, but I think you're going to come to Valencia.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. And then hopefully have you in Austin as well. Hopefully it works out because we want to really help artists use these platforms.
Yeah.
But when we were in Nashville, you were sort of talked through this campaign you did with St. Vincent that got a lot of publicity, that really sort of crystallized the idea of how you took those, like, how you were doing manually,
yeah,
things you were doing manually to start building out the platform.
Yeah. So St. Vincent, the self-titled album on Lima Vista, was the album and the campaign we actually launched Foundy with. At the time, we were just like, this is an agency tool for us, and we're going to use it to help our artist campaigns and our clients, and that's going to be it. Really, the issue was, and it still is, and that's why the tool is widely used, but most interactions that take place between an artist and a fan take place on a platform that is not owned by the artist to begin with. It's taking place on social media, or it's taking place on a streaming platform, or it's taking place on, like RollingStone.com or Billboard.com. Mm-hmm. And so you can only request things. Like, I request that you put a link to my Spotify page or my Apple page or whatever it is. But then you have no ability to reach those people again. So as you said earlier, a lot of times labels are just saying, we're going to shotgun this. We're going to like go out everywhere, and then we're going to try to go out everywhere again. They're really hoping to reach in the same set of people often. Mm-hmm. So they can say, you saw the first single, here's the next music video. And now you heard the first single and saw the next music video, check it out. You can pre-order this or whatever, you know. But they were having a hard time finding the same people. So it was just like expensive shotgun approach over and over. And Foundy was designed to capture those audiences. So as Rolling Stone would link off to iTunes back then, mostly, we would share a Foundy link through the publicist. And what that would do is anybody that read the article and then cared enough to click to go to iTunes, they would fire remarketing pixels. And that meant that we could reach those people again when the next chapter of the story was ready to, you know, the music video or whatever, and mm-hmm. get an ad right in front of those people that actually engaged. And so for St. Vincent, we did that at every step. We were doing everything else. We were capturing emails along the way. We were growing social media followers along the way. We had a lot of content campaigns for that. But also along the way, we were just connecting the dots using Foundy links. So who engaged on RollingStone.com? Who went to iTunes? Who went to Amazon? Who came from social media? Who went to the newsletter? It's not literally the who, you know. It's
yes.
Yeah, it's anonymous IDs, but it gave us the ability to say these 30,000 people took these very specific five actions along the entirety of a 60-day campaign. These are the people I want to spend our limited resources on to, you know, get the right message in front of, the right ad in front of when the album's actually out. And it was very, I mean, the album itself was amazing. So that did
that
most of the work.
That always helps.
It did most of the work. But yeah, that helped us sell albums. But yeah, that at the end, that helped us take limited resources. There's always going to be a limitation on how much money you can spend, no matter who the artist is or, you know, what the company is. and helped us have really targeted advertising and helped us help her sell a ton of albums. She ended up selling, or they ended up selling, I think, like twice as many as the previous album. And it was the most successful to date at that point. It was really, really solid campaign. And from there, the label wanted to know what Foundy was, and management wanted to know. And then suddenly, we had 75 music companies that signed up. And we're like, whoa, dude, we've only worked with like 20 of these. This is just getting around.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, 150 music companies. And fast forward to today, we have 3,500 music companies around the world that use the platform.
Yeah. And so a couple things I want to clarify for those who are listening that may not quite understand. When you talked about remarketing to people and like wanting to reach people that did, they did action A, we want to reach them again with action B.
Yep.
A term people might have heard of is like cookies on the browser. And that, because you, like you said, it's not like you're snagging these people's identities and doing anything, you know, shady, or it's like, it's just, their browser's cookied. It happens to all of us every time we use the web. And that's why when you visit a website and then, you know, sometimes moments later you're somewhere else, you get an ad from that company.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about, if you weren't clear. The other thing I want to make clear is that you started that company, Foundy, to really build technologies around these things to solve these problems so you weren't having to do it manually.
Yeah.
And the technology that you're building, you still have a portal that you work with those like major music companies, but what we're doing with show.co is taking this technology and making it available to independent artists.
That's right. Yeah. In a way that we've never really been able to before. You guys are working, they use your platforms now, so now we can bring it to them, which is great.
Yes. So just wanted to make that clear to everyone, just in case you're like, well, do I go to Foundy? Or do I... This is all available at show.co. When you log in, you know, you get your free show.co account from your CD Baby dashboard, and you'll see a tab that says Ad Builder. And so much of what we're going to be talking about, how to use these tools, is going to relate to that. So if you want to follow along while we talk, you can dig around in there and work on that. So what, you know, before we get really into the specifics, what was most exciting for you? Like, you did that stuff with St. Vincent. You've worked with a lot of artists, and now starting to make these things automated and happen on the background. What are the things that are really exciting about you about how people can reach fans in this new paradigm?
Oh, man. You know, I think I'm most excited. I mean, I love remarketing, and I'll talk about that a lot. but let's not necessarily. I'm most excited about audio advertising, honestly. That's something that was... There was such a barrier years ago to be able to get in. As of right now, you guys, in your dashboard currently, you have the ability, your advertisers, your users have the ability to run Spotify audio advertising campaigns and iHeartRadio advertising campaigns. I mean, it's digital radio basically now, and you can get the best 30 seconds of your song in front of 1,000 people at a time, very, very simply, with really no barriers at this point.
Yeah.
You know, the alternative to that, you go to iHeart directly, you have to work with their ad salespeople, and it's $10,000 minimum spend. You're like, hey, it's $50 minimum for you guys to run some ads. And that's just so you get enough impressions that you're actually reaching, you know, a good amount of people.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's talk about the two campaign types, the advertising campaign types that you can run on the platform in this beta version. There's lots of cool features that we have on a roadmap. You've been here in Portland all week. We've been talking about them. I've been salivating over them. Can't wait for us to get them out to all our artists. But even just super excited about what's already there. So you can run, there's two things you can do. You run audio ads, or you can run targeted banner ads, like just banners on the web. So let's talk about those audio ads.
Okay.
You know, go to show.co, create a campaign, I make my audio ad. How does it even work?
Yeah. So for those of you that that have Spotify, you're probably familiar with the ads that will come up in between playing songs at some point. Those are the ad placements that you guys are enabling people to be able to actually run now.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are 30-second clips of some sort of audio. We always recommend best practice use the best 30 seconds of the song that you're trying to promote to the world, because this is your opportunity for, you know, 2.2 cents per person reach, basically, to get to hook them, you know, to get people interested in your music. So take 30 seconds, you know, lead into, you know, the first 10 seconds of that 30 second clip, and then come in with a voiceover, and you have a good one. So,
this was great, because this is a big aha moment for me when we were doing some early testing. And you said, make a voiceover. And I made this, oh, this is Kevin, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like blabbing for 30 seconds. And then, you know, just being the ridiculous ad that interrupts people. And you're like, you showed me an ad that you guys had done for Manchester Orchestra.
Yeah.
Which I thought was brilliant because it faded in at the chorus?
Yeah, it was like just before the chorus or something.
Yeah, just before the chorus, and it faded in, and then at like, you know, 22 seconds pass where I'm just listening to this song. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And then a voiceover at the end just saying, hey, this is so-and-so from Manchester Orchestra. Hear our latest music on Spotify. Click here, kind of thing.
Yep.
And I thought, that's brilliant, because instead of me just blabbing away like Mr. Radio Announcer... being a sales pitch, it's like it allows for it to be very non-intrusive. Like the listener's listening, that song ends, and then something new fades in, and like, huh, I like this. Who is it? It gives them a chance to really soak it in, and then they hear that little voiceover. They're already on Spotify, and they can click through. So, yeah, I'm really excited for artists to try this and you know, see what's working, and we've done some case studies that had some interesting results.
Yeah, I think we're getting close to be able to put those out to your audience as well. But yeah, I mean, as you said, people get to soak it in for 20 seconds, say, "Wow, I really like this." Oh, this is an ad. Now I can listen to the rest of the song, the whole album, whatever. It works best when the Spotify audio ad is telling people to go do something on Spotify, which is where you want them to do something anyway. So it's the perfect, you know, sort of ecosystem, you know, to get your music in front of people, I think. The case study you're referencing is for Sapient, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That was a really, really good campaign.
Let's talk about that one.
Okay. So Sapient, some of your listeners may know, a hip-hop artist from Portland. Hadn't put out music at this point, I think, for like a little over a year or something. We got a connection from you guys because, you know, he was saying, hey, I have these audiences. I have people listening to me on Spotify. I'm a Portland artist, though, and Portland's like number 16 in terms of, you know, streaming cities for all my music. How do I get in front of more Portland listeners? And so you guys brought that to us, and we're like, this could be a great case study. Let's talk him through it. So we talked to Sapient. He ended up pulling together a really good audio ad himself.
Yep.
Really creative. You know, had a little humor to it. I liked it a lot. The music was really, really solid. And we basically said, okay, your music, you know, you're trying to reach hip-hop listeners. You're trying to reach maybe some pop listeners, maybe even some alternative listeners in Portland area, to see if you can get them to start to stream it more than they would just normally, by normally releasing it. And so he pulled together the audio ad, and he uses single artwork for the banner ad accompaniment. He targeted Portland, and he targeted people listening to pop, hip-hop, and alternative. And in just a one-week campaign, he was able to drive Portland to the number two most streamed city for that single. This is the only song in his top 25 that even broke top five for Portland.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing because we've got the screenshots. And I don't know if it'll be on the blog before you're able to listen to this podcast, but it will be soon, where we're going to have these case studies on the blog, where we have the screenshots of the actual before and after, where, like Jason said, it went from Portland being his number 16th city, and he really, you know, moved that city up. And I love this example because I'm kind of in the same situation with my band, and I didn't try this when we were doing the, you know, some of the early testing. I was promoting a show using our ad, which you can do, and you can link people off of Spotify. You can't link them to Apple Music, but you can link them to like a Bands in Town page or a sales page on your website for a show.
Yep.
And I ran some tests with that type of campaign, but what I loved about the Sapien example is that his ad, he's like, hey, Portland.
Yeah.
You know, and he mentions that he's from Portland.
Yep.
And you're on Spotify anyway, so you might as well listen. It's free.
Yeah.
And it just felt like casual, wasn't Mr. Sales voice, and it performed really well. And it's like, wow, that's a great way that I can influence something and pour more gas on the fire. You know, he had a steady listenership, but we'll, you know, we'll put out that screenshot where, you know, you see a dramatic spike of listenership. And, you know, the thing that we get from artists is like, right now, they've been asking us about these services that charge to pitch to playlists, and they're spending, you know, oftentimes $500 to get very minimal results. And it's like, this is a way where, you know, people who like your music, like your kind of music, are going to hear your music.
You control how many people hear at least 30 seconds of your song, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like giving people free samples of Cinnabon at the mall.
That's true. That's
right?
True. And you and I talked. This isn't the fame lever. This isn't the fame button. It's like the if, you know, there's some things that you can do. Like if you're starting from scratch, yeah, there's some testing you can do. But it's not, you're not going to go from zero streams to, you know, 200,000, a million streams on $50.
No, definitely not.
But it's a way for you to start getting more listeners. Listening and the Spotify algorithm starting to learn who likes your music.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen it actually influence like you know, charts, or you know, like the I forget now, I'm blanking on what the like recommendations are called on Spotify now.
Discover Weekly.
Yeah,
or a Release Radar and those things.
Yeah, exactly. When the, you know, when people are spending it. But you know what's funny is like I was telling a friend of mine who's in a rock band in Los Angeles actually about the Sapien case study, and he's like, wait, he's like, I had a, you know, I drove to a, man, I'm trying to think of that venue out in, it's between San Diego and Los Angeles, in Costa Mesa, that, it's not Galaxy. Why do I, it sounds like
I
Galaxy.
I don't know where to.
Okay, he's like, well, I drove out there, I passed out flyers or something, you know, and it was $40 in gas. And he's like, you're telling me for 2 cents basically at a time, I could have reached thousands of people for $40. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I passed out like 100 flyers and it cost me $40 in gas plus the flyers. I'm like, go to run an audio ad, man. Target the same city. Target people in the city that you're trying to build an audience in.
Well, and that's what I love about this. I just put up a campaign yesterday and am targeting Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm doing so is it's a city that over our career, we haven't played there a ton, but through the data that I can see, and it's also important that, you know, you're looking at data in that we provide you, like the, you know, trending reports and things to see where your fans are and where there might be opportunities. But Dallas has been the city that we haven't played a whole lot, but we have a very strong audience. So I'm very curious of like, I'm going to target just that city. And then I haven't recorded it yet, but I'm also going to launch an ad for Atlanta because Atlanta, that's the band's home base.
Yep.
But I don't – we sometimes hover – sometimes Dallas is number one. Sometimes Atlanta's five. And it's like it's not as strong as it should be for it being our home base and our hub. And so I'm going to do similar to what Sapien did, like, hey Atlanta – come on, what's
I
your problem?
It. It's all right
well,
here.
Can a guy get a stream or two from you?
I like that. That's a good ad. Try that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like you can try it and have fun with it and see what works and what doesn't. On the Spotify audio ad, you mentioned it's a $50 minimum to get started. That's the minimum ad buy. They're not going to sell you a Spotify ad for $10. They just won't let us do it that cheap. Like you already said, $50 is highly accessible compared to what they do for general advertisers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so maybe we could talk about it now, but you guys also, you guys haven't put it into your dashboard yet for your users, but you also have SoundCloud audio advertising. So between really all of them, they've all had pretty historic minimums of like $10,000, $25,000. They're starting to take them down a little bit. Right now, you can't get into SoundCloud to run an ad for less than 10 grand. But on your platform, it's $50.
Yeah, and that'll be live very, very soon. We just have to update the front-end interface to let them select it.
That's right.
And do a few other little things. Hey, this is Kevin. I just needed to break in here with a little bit of an update to provide clarity about Spotify audio ads. They absolutely must have a voiceover with a call to action. You just can't upload 30 seconds of your song and have it slotted in there like an ad. It has to have a call to action and some sort of message, like any ad you've heard before. All the examples at the end of this show are great examples of how to do it well, and just needed to provide that clarity. Call to action, you can link to someplace on Spotify, like the song, a playlist, your artist profile, or you can link to a page where people can buy tickets, to a show or your website, but it has to have a call to action. The ad will get rejected if it does not have that call to action. So just needed to clarify, and let's get back to my interview. Let's talk a little bit about, since iHeartRadio is live, how that works a little differently than the Spotify ads. Because Spotify, everyone's a little bit more familiar with, probably less familiarity with the opportunities and how iHeart works.
Totally, yeah. So, I have iHeart now since I started working with them, getting the deals done and stuff. I didn't really before, but it turns out they have like 70 million users.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people on iHeartRadio. And people are listening to like, their favorite radio station or whatever, you know, or they're listening to like the rock stations in the Portland area or something like that. And just like a radio ad would be, there are audio ads that they allow through your platform, just like the Spotify ones, 30-second audio ad that will come in between, you know, two songs they're playing on whatever radio station. And, you know, it can be like, hey, you're listening to my song. And, hey, why don't you just do it, you know?
So in this kind of placement, would you recommend a different strategy as far as how you create the ad?
Like where you might send people, it's a little less expensive than Spotify, actually. So Spotify is 2.2 cents per audio impression. And I think iHeart's like 1.6 cents or something like that. So you can reach a lot of people for $50. I would say that you target by genre of radio station. So it's like the rock stations or the top 40 stations or whatever, and you target by city. We have seen it help with like driving streaming elsewhere just by generally raising awareness and raising brand awareness and just getting exposure of people that listen to the radio. Basically, these are people that listen to the radio. This is like, it's almost as close as you get to like being able to like, hey, I want to put my song on the radio, like, and just be able to pull a lever to do it. I mean,
yeah.
But yeah, I think we see people use it more for tour.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. To help drive awareness. Cause, I forget who it was, but, maybe it was like K-Rock or something, but in the Los Angeles
station.
Yeah.
The big rock station in LA.
They've talked about like how, radio drives people to concerts. A lot of these radio stations, they have their own promotions team. They set up massive concerts, you know. They'll present like a massive, 25,000 seat venue, some concerts. And so we always thought, well, all right, if you guys are basically now running radio ads through iHeartRadio, focus on concerts with it. And yeah, it seems to be pretty effective for people.
Interesting. Because when we did my early testing on the platform, I just did my concert ad on Spotify.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's interesting. That
might be better.
The listeners might be more primed to take action on a concert call to action than listen to my music. So yeah, interesting. Those are the kind of things I'm looking forward to seeing as we get more and more people using the platform. The kind of things we learn and can share with best practices with other artists so they can get more out of it.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about the banner ad side of it and what we're doing there and the opportunities for artists. And we can talk about, what they would encounter right now today if they were there. And so this is different than the audio ads. This is actually putting images out on the web. Just like what people are pretty much familiar with.
Yep, totally.
So how does this work, and what's how can I use it to to, you know, further my music career?
Yeah. So as of right now, if somebody were to go to show.co and they want to set up a banner ad campaign, they're presented with a list of different genres and different tiers. And what that is, each of those are curated by hand, basically. So we found hundreds of websites that would fit into, say, country music, fit for country music fans. Mm-hmm. And we put those into, you know, one of the tiers, like, I think they're Discovery and Premium, let's say.
Yeah.
And between the two of those, what makes one of them more Discovery is that you can spend your ad can go wider. You can reach more people because generally these are country music websites that websites where fans might go, fans of country music might go, and don't cost as much to be on. Meanwhile, if you actually, I pulled a report before we came in for somebody that's running an ad right now on show.co. They chose country premium. And on that report, the number one website where their ads are being shown right now is CMT.com.
Which is exactly where they want to be.
Exactly, yeah. And right after that, it's like Taste of Country or something, which is a pretty premium website. I'm not a huge country fan, so I don't frequent that website. But what I'm told is it's a pretty huge country website. After that, they're on Billboard.com. You know, if you went to Billboard directly, you're going to spend way more money, and they're going to have a minimum of at least $1,000 to run ads with them.
Yeah.
This person's spending, I think, $50 over the life of the entire campaign, and his ad is literally on like the most premium websites for his genre.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that we were talking earlier that blew my mind. Like, I have used other platforms in the past. I won't name names, but I have used other platforms in the past where there was one where I did a $500 ad spend to test this thing out.
Yep.
And my ads ran. They reported back to me the sites they were on.
Mm-hmm.
Four of them were hip-hop sites that were clearly on the questionable side, not by content, but just by, like, these aren't popular websites.
Got it, yeah.
Three were EDM, and then one was like some random, just like catch-all internet website.
What'd you pick as your targeting?
Christian and rock and alternative.
Oh, of course.
And so, yes. So clearly there was a breakdown, and yeah. I blew $500 mm-hmm. and got nothing for it because someone on that hip-hop site is not going to be interested in what we do. And also, the sites themselves were questionable. So when you were pulling those reports and showing me, I was like, that's what we want.
Yeah.
That's what artists are looking for. And just being able to have a chance to access those audiences and know that, hey, it's not a matter of can I get my music in front of those people. At that point, is my messaging good and is my music good?
Yeah.
And that's puts the variables on us as opposed to feeling like we have no reach. But through that... on the banner side, the minimum is less than the audio side.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys, I think it's like 10, 15, 20 bucks or something.
Yeah,
it's pretty small.
Yeah.
And everything's been basically sort of predefined for the user. So the bids are all optimized automatically. The ad sizes are just the top five that generally get served with the highest viewability and the best placements on websites. The domains are all hand curated, et cetera. So you go in, you upload one banner or, you know, I think up to five different banners.
Yeah.
And you select the genre and the level of sort of website tier you'd like to have your ads on. And then, of course, you can select your territory. You know, you can select just a bunch of cities that you might tour in. You can select the city that you're in if you're trying to build your local audience, mm-hmm. let's say. Maybe you're trying to get in front of promoters' eyes or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's why some of the people might be advertising on the premium, by the way, because promoters are reading Billboard and they're reading, RollingStone.com and stuff like that. And so, if you can get in front of them, then that could be helpful when you're trying to make sure the promoters recognize you, instead of when you email them or something like that.
Yeah, not even recognize you, but to know that you're serious because you're out there trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
And are there any restrictions on this side of the campaigns where can I link to anything?
You can link to, anything that you'd want to link to. You know, all websites have their own limitations. You know, I can't even think of one. You just don't link to anything that's like illegal or like.
That all aside, I meant like I can link to YouTube. I could link to a Spotify link. I mean, there are some things that, you know, depending on the context someone sees your ad in, where the link goes to is important to consider, and the content of your ad. And where you send somebody. But, you know, that ad that you showed us, not only is it getting on those sites, it was actually performing quite well.
It was actually performing really well. I can't remember what the click-through rate was. It was like an hour ago or whatever. We didn't say his name, so maybe I can say. I think it was at like 0.45% click-through rate, and that's on premium inventory. Like, that's not what you expect on Billboard or CMT or anything like that.
Yeah. And for those of you uninitiated with banner ads, that's very good. Banner ads typically don't have a high click-through rate. So if you're expecting like a click-through rate like what you see on your email, that's not going to happen.
No, definitely.
So it's a different strategy. And also, you know, we did not say who this individual was, but when we were talking and you were telling like, you saved the ad, you like waited and when you wait till you see what the ad looks like. And when you said that, I'm like, all right, did somebody like do something like, I don't know, put someone wearing not many very much clothing on? What's the catch? And then you showed it to him, and it just looked like an average ad that any of our artists could make. It wasn't super slick.
It was organic,
professional
like
enough,
it
but
felt,
yeah, yeah, it had a organic feel that fit the country genre really well, and it's performing well. And so I've been just super excited about, you know, from some of the stuff, you know, that I've tried in the past. I know our listeners have tried in the past where they've been frustrated, like I spent money and I don't even know where it went, and I don't know what sites it's on. I don't know what results. We're showing that all to you.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, you know, again, it's not going to make you famous. We're not, unless you have, you know, $200,000 you want to pump into there. But it's
that might help.
Using it strategically, it really can aid in reinforcing all the different efforts you're doing. Especially like, you know, I didn't even think about the idea of like, you know, promoters and things. They are on Billboard probably almost every day, and if they see you, like, oh, I have the option of booking the artist A or artist B, but I see artist A is really out there promoting themselves. I'm going to go with artist A, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you just in the past working with some more, you know, like local DIY bands. Like I've managed a couple bands in Los Angeles that were, you know, still up and comers. And we did a lot of that stuff. You know, we targeted the websites we know promoters go to in the cities or the zip codes even that, you know, we wanted to reach them on. So it was pretty effective. We would email promoters after a campaign, and we saw just a surprising number of responses after these kinds of campaigns. You can get really strategic and really surgical with that kind of thing. In this case, a lot of that is already handcrafted. So all you have to do is go in and have a banner and place this in people and then set your budget and your location.
Yeah. And if you are on the interface and if you're an artist that's like messed around with Facebook ads or other ad platforms and think, hey, it seems like there's not as much targeting, it's because we're doing a lot of the magic on the back end for you.
Yeah.
Just based on the information you give us, because we want to keep it simple. We don't want you to have to get bogged down in details, and we we're doing lots of optimizations in order to make sure that your ads are in front of the right people.
Yeah, and frankly, these are the same kinds of campaigns that are being set up and run for artists again, like, you know, St. Vincent and BB Rexha and Sylvanesso and Iggy Pop and, you know, very successful, very awesome campaigns for massive artists. We're taking down the barrier and sort of set all the criteria in advance so that it's, you get to figure out what your goal is and figure out what your creative is. And that's kind of it, you know?
Yeah. So with the time we have left, let's talk, give a little preview of like, we just launched the beta. The pieces that are there are fully functional, and we just didn't remove the beta name because we wanted to get more people using it. And we have some new things that on the horizon that we're going to be adding to it very quickly. Just give us a slight preview of that. We don't have to get too specific because, you know, we're still trying to figure out which piece is going to come next. There's like, you got five good pieces to choose from. You can only do one at a time, and we're still kind of figuring what's coming next. But what are some of the things that people will be able to do in the near future?
Well, I can tell you one that will probably be done by the time this airs, actually.
Oh, excellent.
And so the with display advertising, with the, you know, the banners on the website, right now there's two options. There's primary options, like you have Discovery and Premium. We talked about Premium, but Discovery is targeting you know, maybe hundreds of websites that fit into that genre. But on top of that, we're also targeting based on behavior, people that have shown interest in these specific kinds of genres, which means that you're not just targeting a limited number of websites. You're targeting people that show an interest in hip-hop or people that show an interest in rock or people that show an interest in country music, which is really awesome. That'll actually – that tends to lead to even better click-through rates and clicks than you know, just targeting websites. So depending on your goal, you can do the behavioral and domain targeting or you can do the premium, you know, website targeting. So to me, that's really interesting. Maybe that wasn't interesting to everybody else.
No, it is. No, it is super interesting because – I think artists tend to think all the fans are at RollingStone.com. Actually, most of them aren't. Where they are is, you know, and we were talking about how jazz, if you're just talking about like a premium jazz site, there's not that many.
It's four.
Yeah. And so, but there's an enormous amount of sites where it's an obvious connection that the people that engage in these type of activities tend to like jazz, or it's an opportunity to put jazz in front of them, or insert any genre there. And so that's what that allows you to do. It allows you to go wider and allows you to just kind of seek out that new fans and kind of open it up more.
Yeah, it's the very beginning of the sort of stuff I talked about with the St. Vincent campaign earlier, where we were creating remarketing audiences of her fans. In this case, we're talking about fans of genres. But it does segue into something else you guys are going to be launching, probably not by the end of this podcast.
No.
But, and that is the same sort of audiences that, you know, we would build at my previous agency or these record labels are building. They're going to be built automatically into your artist dashboards on show.co. So anytime somebody sets up a show.co landing page promotion and then they share that, and people come from Facebook or email or wherever else, everybody that goes to that page is basically getting pulled into their specific, unique remarketing audience so they can reach them and let them know when the next single is out or when the next promotion is happening. And that's all going to be automated.
Yeah. Oh, that, I mean, that, to me, I'm just...
I'm pumped on that.
Yeah,
I'm
so excited. Yeah. Because the thing that, to me, it's like, that's so amazing for artists, you use it, set up a Spotify pre-save campaign.
Yeah.
You're driving all these people to it. They're pre-saving the album, but that doesn't mean they go back and listen to it on release day.
Yeah.
But then when the album comes out, these people that have already shown interest in your music, you can really target them to, you know, the new music's out, or even just following up with the new merch or whatever you want to really know that let you know who they are already. They've already expressed a certain interest in your music that you know about, and now you can target them with that knowledge.
Yep, exactly. I mean, to me, that's one of the most interesting. Then we're going to keep adding audio. SoundCloud will be up soon.
Yeah.
So you'll have Spotify, SoundCloud, and iHeart, which you can't access all three of those anywhere else, and you certainly can't access all of their genres. And again, $50 to get started.
Yeah.
You know?
Excellent. Well, I know you'll be back on the podcast, and we'll get into some more like case studies and best practices as we continue to roll this out. I just wanted to get the podcast audience a sneak peek because they're my crew that is in this with Chris and I and other artists. We're all trying things I know they'll be excited about, so I wanted to give them a sneak peek and dive into it. And we haven't even emailed anybody about it yet, so they're hearing about it first.
Yeah.
I'm excited. You're going to be at our conferences, and just lots of cool stuff happening. So thanks, Jason.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. I am so excited about this tool that we've been building. We've been working on it for a while, and it's just been, I've been just chomping at the bit to be able to start talking about it. Again, you are the first people to hear about this, so go check it out. If you've got feedback, I'd love to hear it at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. And so I'm going to play some example ads right now because the audio ads are a little different. If you don't do it properly, if you don't create a nice ad with a voiceover and do it well, it could be missed opportunity. So here's a couple ones that I want to play for you before we close out the show. This first one is by an artist named Chad Lawson. He's been on the podcast before. He is advertising a show in San Francisco, and I thought his ad was excellent. Chad does solo piano. So as you're listening to this, imagine you're listening to solo piano on Spotify, and this comes up. I think you would find it very pleasing and a very, very effective use of the ad buy. And it's non-intrusive. And if as a listener, it's very intriguing. And he's just targeting San Francisco with this ad, which you can do. So check this out.
Hey, San Francisco, this is Chad Lawson. I'm coming to your town to play a show. With two great friends from Amsterdam, we're going to be at the Herbst Theater Wednesday, May the 8th. Come see us. Click on the link for more details. Cheers. I'll see you then.
So that was Chad Lawson's ad. Again, perfect example of how to use this. This is not something where you just throw in 30 seconds of a song. That doesn't do it. This is a chance to give people a taste of your music and give them a nice call to action. Here is another one. This is the one I did for our song called Song of Hallelujah. My strategy was to fade it in for the chorus, and I noticed that I could get most of the chorus in and then do my call to action at the end. And the way I thought it was like someone's listening to Spotify, the last song fades out, a new song fades in, and they're like, who is this? This is catchy. This is hooky. I like it. Then I come in with my voiceover and answer that question for them. You know, I just link to the song in Spotify. So if they click, they go directly to the song. And it's still running. Here I shout, oh Lord. Here I song of hallelujah. We come in with praise to the God we love. Here I shout, oh Lord. Here I song of hallelujah. Hey, this is Kevin from Small Town Poets. Thanks for listening to Song of Hallelujah. Be sure to add it to your Spotify playlist now. From recording this, I just set this up like 2 days ago, and the early results are that that song is getting a bump. I'm just focusing on Dallas. I was doing a test. I'm just focusing on the Dallas area. So that's who I'm trying to reach and see what results I get. Just trying to build some case studies and best practices for all of you as you start to engage with this. So there's a couple examples for you, and I hope that helps. You definitely want to make sure that you think about it from the listener's perspective. They heard a song, and then this comes on. It's your moment to be able to give them a taste of your music and tell them a little bit about you and send them off in the right direction. Again, this is all inside of show.co. You'll go there. You'll see the ad builder beta tab. Just click on that, and you can mess around with it and try it out. And I look forward to seeing how artists use this. I think it's a huge opportunity to be able to insert your music right in front of people who are listening to music at that price point. If you went to, I think Jason said, if you went to Spotify directly, it'd be like 10 grand is the minimum buy. So 50 bucks gets you in. So yes, excited about this, and a whole lot more features are coming that are going to be amazing. And that does it for this edition of the podcast. Don't forget, go to DIYMusicianCon.com. Get your tickets for Austin or Valencia or both if you just really, really want to make your year special and hang out with us in both locations. It's going to be amazing. And we'll be talking a lot about tools like this and how to target fans and really do things that have just a few years ago weren't available to independent artists. But it's a great time to be releasing music. I'm super excited, and I'll catch you next time. See ya. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.